You know, it's always amazing to me how people can see the same exact thing so differently. I mean, if there are a dozen eyewitnesses at a crime scene, chances are there'll be 12 different accounts of exactly what happened. There are, after all, four Gospels in the Bible, and each author sees the same story, the story of Jesus, a little differently, accentuates certain parts of the life of Christ. Each author sees things differently. There were seven different officials at last week's Ohio State-Michigan game. And they all got it wrong. They blew what should have been the last play of the game. And quoting Jesus out of Matthew 23:16, I kind of think this is what he would have said to them. Woe to you, blind guides and blind fools. Yes, Jesus did say that. Of course, I'm taking it a wee bit out of context. But hopefully you get the point. We all see things and we all experience things just a little differently. Case in point, Mary, mother of Jesus. She heard some very shocking news, some very challenging news. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to the town of Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. And the angel comes to her and says, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." And Mary was troubled by the angel's message and wondered what his words meant. The angel said, "God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant. You will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God." And Mary said, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." Now, it's easy for us today to call this good news because we see the whole story. We see the big picture, but for Mary in present tense, I mean, this is bad news, really bad news, devastating news. It was complicated, to say the least. But let's look at how she reacted. How did she see this event that was coming to pass? What did Mary say? She said, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it happen just as you've said." At that moment, Mary was confronted with two different ways of seeing things. The way of a teenage girl who could have been put to death at such news, or the way of a deeply devoted woman of faith who heard the news from Gabriel and believed, even though she didn't understand, and even though she was afraid. This young bride-to-be of Joseph was afraid, but at the same time, she knew that God was at work in her life. Her cousin Elizabeth knew. I mean, the Holy Spirit had revealed the news to her. And when she greeted Mary, she spoke out in these loud words, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Mary answered Elizabeth with a song that we call the Magnificat, a song filled with praise of God. And while she was still trying to understand all the events and all this stuff that's going on in her life that brought her to Elizabeth's door, she has a song. Mary, despite her youth, was incredibly mature beyond her years in her faith. Her experience of Christ's birth and life and death and resurrection was the most intimate of all relationships that Jesus had. I mean, after all, she was his mother. Well, I got thinking about this, and I was wondering, if Mary were here today, what kind of wisdom could she pass on to us? What lessons might she teach us as the mother of the Messiah? And I'm going to share with you three lessons that I think Mary might have had for us. And the first lesson is this: life is hard. Life is hard. Her pilgrimage to Bethlehem was hard. We so often pass over it so quickly as we tell the Christmas story. We read, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed and everyone should return to their own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. He was from the house and lineage of David, but they came to be taxed. Not good news. Came to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. I mean, Mary had to know this was going to be a tough trip. I mean, even today, with all the advances in medical technology, I have yet to hear one woman describe childbirth as easy. But few mothers have had to spend the last few days of their pregnancy on the back of a donkey. Most were able to do better than a stable and the odors of cattle and sheep. Well, in Matthew's account of the first Christmas, Mary and Joseph and the new baby were forced to flee Egypt and to escape the wrath of Herod. So once again, Mary and Joseph are on the move, and they're fleeing to protect their son's life. It's tough. Love what Martin Luther said in his commentary in this passage. He said, in this passage, in this flight to Egypt, the artist gives Mary a donkey. The Gospels don't. So Mary probably trudged through the hills in the winter on foot at nursing her child and leaning on Joseph for support. It wasn't until after Herod's death that the young family was able to return to their home in Nazareth. In a world filled with refugees, it's important to know that our Lord was at one time a refugee himself. The next dozen or so years in Mary's life were probably good ones. She and Joseph were never prosperous, but they were able to provide for her family, for their family, and Jesus turned out amazingly, growing in stature and in favor with God and man. But then something happened to Joseph. I mean, we don't know what. Life was even more uncertain back in those days. Joseph is never mentioned again in the Gospels. Mary probably found herself left as a young widow. As the oldest son, Jesus would take Joseph's place in the carpenter shop, and that role he would fill until his 30th birthday, when he was baptized by John and began his ministry. Joseph's loss would not have been the least and the last one for Mary. Think about this. Mary watched as her son died as a common criminal on the cross at Calvary. And can you imagine being a parent? Can you imagine being a mom? And the hurt and the pain that she experienced at the crucifixion of Jesus. My guess is that Mary would have gladly taken her son's place at the cross of Calvary, just as he took ours. So for Mary, life was hard, very hard. But yet, she sang a song of praise. Probably one of my favorite books of all times is The Road Less Traveled. I know that makes me an 80-something kid, but it's a wonderful book by M. Scott Peck. And at the beginning of the book, he writes this. I love this. Life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we can transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, we truly understand and accept it. And then life is no longer difficult. Because once it's accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters. So when we run through tough times, when we face great difficulties, as Mary certainly did, we only see it with our limited vision. Or we can choose to see it differently, expecting that God somehow will take our pain and adversity and convert it into a song of praise. King Duncan, who's a Methodist pastor from Tennessee, put it this way. Many of us are having a difficult time coping with life precisely because we think it ought to be easy. Particularly at this time of year, we want everything to be perfect, like, you know, the perfect Christmas, the perfect tree, the perfect gift. It wasn't perfect for Mary. Chances are, pretty good, it's not going to be perfect for us either. But Duncan writes this, people who cope successfully with life are those who understand the importance of discipline and self-denial, who realize that life is really a training school, that happiness is not a permanent state, but elusive, an elusive quality that's best achieved in search of something higher. So yes, life is hard. But like Mary, we can see our challenges differently. And in the midst of uncertainty and fear, we can learn to fear not and to sing a song of praise. There's a story of a man who was always sick when he was a baby. In fact, his whole life he struggled with health issues, but he persevered and he studied. He later became a pastor. But his health was always an issue, and he found it difficult to perform his role. So in his weakness, he took to writing letters and to members of his congregation with encouragement and hope. And then he felt inspired to start writing hymns. And he ended up writing over 600 hymns, most of them hymns of praise. Upon his death in 1748, Isaac Watts left behind a remarkable collection of hymns, including probably the best-loved Christmas carol of all times, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." And my question is, could he have written this hymn if his life had been easy? I doubt it. Because sometimes, as the great poet Cahil Gibran writes, our joy is carved from our pain. That's the first thing Mary might say to us. Life is hard. Here's the second. God is good. Life is hard, but God is good. Mary was overwhelmed that the God of all creation could have chosen her for this high honor. In her words, she says, "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." In Mary's mind, only the kind and good-hearted God would bypass the wealthy and the powerful of the world to reach out to this peasant girl to bear his son, the Messiah. God is good, not only because God chose the lowly maiden of Nazareth, not only because God is aware of our needs, but because God keeps his promises. That's a major part of this great miracle in Mary's eyes. She declares he has kept the promises made to our ancestors and has come to the help of his servant Israel. The coming of the Messiah was the fulfillment of the long-awaited promise. The people of Israel lived in anticipation of the fulfillment of the promise. It's part of the reading for our Advent candle this morning. Mary understood that the coming of the Messiah was the fulfillment of God's promise, and she's singing praises to God. So life is hard, but God is good. And there's one more thing that I think Mary would share with us if she were here today, and that is love wins. Love wins. Mary's love for Jesus is in many ways a reflection of God's love for humankind. It is love that gives us peace no matter how hard things get. Bruce Larson, the pastor of a Presbyterian church in Seattle, wrote this some time ago. It was printed in the Denver Post. A week or so before Christmas, a pastor told his congregation about a needy family facing a bleak Christmas. One young father decided to do something about that. And so he and his son set out in the family pickup truck to cut down a fresh evergreen and to deliver it to this destitute family. They ran into a rock slide, and a boulder hit the truck and damaged it badly. The windshield was smashed, and while the father wasn't hurt, the young boy was cut by the glass and was bleeding severely. They tried to wave down a passing motorist to help, but no avail, and over 200 cars passed, whizzing by, didn't bother to stop. Then this couple in a car drove by, and they stopped, and they took care of the injured boy, and they returned the two of them to their home, and then they went on. The father and son never got the names of these two ministering angels. In a week's time, the truck was repaired, and the boy's injuries healed. And on Christmas Eve, the pastor asked the man if he would deliver a basket of food and toys to this family in need. And he set them out the same family that he was supposed to bring the tree to. Well, he loaded up his truck. He drove to the address that he was given. And he knocked on the door. Who answers? The couple that had stopped to help him out on the highway a week before. I mean, life doesn't always work out that neatly, does it? But in the end, love wins. Herod and Pilate are in their grace. Mary's son lives. I don't know what kind of holiday season this has been for you so far. I hope it's been one of the best ever. But perhaps there's been some challenges and some difficulties. And if so, learn these lessons from Mary's song. Life is hard. God is good. Love wins. Will you repeat that with me? Life is hard. God is good. Love wins. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see things differently, not as the world sees them, but through the eyes of faith. Help us to sing your praises even when life is hard. Continue to remind us of your goodness and give us peace as we experience your love in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.